The following message was given by Brother Timothy Hong in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, October 30th, 2016. The title of the message is Dealing with the Gifts 2. Scripture verses are 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 22.
And speaking God.
Amen.
Thank you. We can gather into in your name.
Yes.
Oh, into the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To enjoy your presence.
Yes.
And to enjoy your word.
Amen.
To pray your blood will cover us.
Yes.
And anoint us richly.
Yes.
Both the speaking and the hearing.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Since this morning we are covering the second portion of chapter 12. So last week we covered the first part. And we come to the second part this morning, what we cover this past week. Then this week, starting from today, we will cover the third part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in this portion of the scripture, chapter 12, if we read the heading, is concerning dealing with the gifts. In the context, it mentioned in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. So it's concerning dealing with the spiritual gifts. We know the spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit. Let me just mention, in verse 1, in fact, the gifts was not mentioned. If you read it, it's in italic. So it was not in the original text. But if we read the context, we'll realize it's referring to the spiritual gifts. So Paul, here, he touches the matter of spiritual gifts. I enjoyed in 1 Corinthians, in the second part of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, we started with Paul dealing with the matter of head covering. Then after that, Paul deals with the matter of the Lord's Supper. Then it comes to the third part. He mentioned Paul is dealing with the spiritual gifts. In the past, I could not put the three together. Why Paul mentioned about the sisters with the head covering, then he covered the matter of the Lord's Supper. You know, we just had the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. Then now he covers the spiritual gifts. But through the ministry, the word is opened up to us that we will see concerning the head covering is concerning Christ being the head. Christ is head of every man, and man is the head of woman, and God is the head of Christ. So we see in chapter 12, it begins with the headship of Christ. And concerning the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, then it touches the matter of that when we come to the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, we need to discern the body. Because what's on the table, of course, was the bread and the cup. The bread was referring to the Lord's physical body was broken for us on the cross. But it also refers to the spiritual body, which is the body of Christ. Because before the Lord's crucifixion, he mentioned, unless a grain falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears many grains. So Christ died and brought us forth. And we are the many grains, but on the table, we are one body, one bread. So we see the matter of the head, and we see the matter of the body. The body of Christ. Then we come to this morning's portion. This morning's portion also continue with the matter of the body, but it mentioned the members. So we see the head, we see the body, and we see the members. And this is very meaningful. Especially, we all are the members. We are the members of God's household. We are also the members of the body of Christ. So I really enjoy the words opening up to us that we can enter into the the riches concerning God's word. You know, concerning the spiritual gifts, the Bible mentioned that there are the gifts of the persons and also the gifts of the ability. We can read some of the verses in after 1 Corinthians 12. We have the verses in Ephesians concerning, okay, that's maybe we can read chapter 4, 11 and 12. And, sorry, verse 8 first. Therefore, of the saints, unto the word of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. This verse is mentioned, you know, when the Lord Jesus died and resurrected, eventually ascended. When he ascended to the high, he gave gifts to men, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some shepherds and teachers. So these are persons. So the gifts are the persons. This is the first aspect concerning the gifts. And in fact, every one of us sitting here, we are the gifts the Lord gave to the body. So every one of us, you know, we are gifts. I think the more we are in the church life, we more, of course, you know, sometimes, you know, we rub on one another. But more often, I think we just realize every one of us is a gift, you know. Older ones, there's a saying, older ones are the treasures of the church. Of course, we need the younger ones, because the younger ones, they are the future of the church. And they mention about the middle-aged ones. The middle-aged ones are the loins of the church. So in other words, every one of us is a gift God has given to the body, for the church to grow, for the church to go on. So these are the aspects concerning the gifts of persons. But of course, we also see in today's verses that there are members given to the body, and each one has its function. You know, even in the previous portion, he mentioned that in the beginning of chapter 12, he mentioned about the spiritual gifts, that there are distinctions of gifts, but the same spirits. And there are, this is verse 4, and there are distinctions of ministries, yet the same Lord. And there are distinctions of operations, but the same God who operates all things. So to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what is profitable. So we all have been given, and we have been gifted by the Lord and through the Spirit with a spiritual gift for us to function. So this is very meaningful. So we see the head, when we see the body, but the body is one, but with many members. And every member has its function. And that function is for profit, for the profit of the body. You know, we are, when we come to the title of this portion concerning dealing with the gifts are the spiritual gifts, are given through the Spirit. Then why it should be dealt with, right? Spiritual gifts, they are good. Why should they be dealt with? It's because the gifts are for the profit of the body, and for the building up of the body. If the gifts are used not properly, then it's not for profit. That's why Paul comes in dealing with the gifts. So these are, you know, this again, I feel is very rich, because we just finished the book of Exodus. You know, in Exodus, now we come to now we switch gear into Corinthians. In fact, the Bible is one. what we cover in Exodus, in fact, is the same what we cover in the book of 1 Corinthians. Because what we cover in Exodus, it was concerning the building up of God's tabernacle, God's dwelling place on the earth. And of course, Moses received the pattern. It was revealed to him on the mountain. But then there were the gifted ones. They are building this tabernacle and with many other helpers. And this is the picture also in 1 Corinthians. You know, God wants to build up his church. This we'll see in 1 Corinthians 14. We'll have a verse there. But God needs gifted ones, and God also needs all the members in order to build up the church, his body. So, what's in Exodus, we read also in 1 Corinthians. And especially in Exodus, we eventually come to realize every one of us, we are the standing boards. The measurement of the boards are 1.5 cubits. That means you are not complete. So none of us, no matter how gifted you are not complete. I'm not complete. So we need the other ones. We need one another. So what's in the Exodus is also in 1 Corinthians. So this is really wonderful. I think Brother Ed also mentioned last week concerning the Exodus is it goes into 1 Corinthians. It's very smooth. During the Exodus training, we also mentioned that God is speaking. You know, God is speaking, but God speaks through the breastplate. You know, there are 12 stones with the 18 alphabets of the Hebrew language, but it's missing 4. And the other 4 letters are in Urim and Thummim. And the way God speaks is through, not through, all the precious stones that they have, they will shine. But through the negative situation, God speaks. So in 1 Corinthians, we have the negative situation, and God used this negative situation, God speaks. And what we have come to chapter 12 are just the riches of Christ. It's truly wonderful that, the way God speaks is consistent, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. This time, I enjoy 3 verses very much. That is chapter 12, verse 12, and verse 13, and verse 18. These 3 verses. Chapter 12, verse 12, and 13 is what we covered last week, the first 2 verses. Concerning the first 2 verses, maybe I'll cover 13 first. 13, it mentioned, "For also in one spirit we were all baptized into," let's read it together. "For also
in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all given to drink one spirit."
In this one verse, it revealed to us the formation of the body and also the constitution of the body. The first part, in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. This is the formation of the body. In the past, I could not understand how did Paul get this, in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. This baptism of the Spirit, in fact, is not invented by Paul. This was in the very beginning, after the Lord's death and resurrection. the Lord already mentioned to the disciples concerning this matter. And this matter has been misunderstood by many Christians. I don't know whether you heard before. But people will ask you, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And a brother was asked by another sister about, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? I don't know, you can answer. But the answer, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Today I think it's very clear. So before, a lot of Christians, they are not sure. If you ask the person, what you mean by, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Any one of you heard the answer before? What?
If you would speak in tongues, you're
baptized. Right. Christian's concept is, if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. Have you spoken in tongues, Father Roger?
Not knowing.
I think most of us, we have not spoken in tongues. So, according to them, you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, their concept concerning baptizing the Holy Spirit is incorrect. Because what we read today, in one spirit, what? We all were baptized into one body. To be baptized into one spirit is to be one body. Right? It's very clear. Okay, this matter, in fact, I mentioned it's not invented by Paul. There are some verses that maybe we can read them. In Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. Let's read together. And as he met together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John
baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Right. So it's out of the Lord's mouth. He mentioned, not many days, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think John and Apostle Peter and John, they were baptized by John the Baptist. But the Lord told them, they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Lord said it after his resurrection. After his resurrection, he was with the disciples. Okay, let's continue with Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and those verses. And as the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, they were all together in the same place. And suddenly there was a sound out of heaven, as of a rushing violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire, which were distributed, and it sat on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in different tongues, even as the Spirit gave them to speak for. I think, you know, the concept concerning speaking in tongues was from here. But here is different from what they thinking concerning the speaking in tongues. Because here, the speaking in tongues are languages. It's not just making some kind of sound. Okay, let's continue with Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, he has poured out this which you both see and hear. You know, after the Lord's resurrection and ascension, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out. And I guess we all know, in Acts, Peter and the other three apostles, they start preaching the gospel. And that day, 3,000 got saved. That was the result of the outpouring of the Spirit, and that was the baptism of the Spirit. In this occasion, the Lord, through the pouring of the Spirit, baptized the Jewish believers into the body of Christ. Now we can read the next portion about us, the Gentiles. When did we get baptized into the Holy Spirit? Let's read chapter 10, verse 44 to 47. While Peter was still speaking, hearing the word, and the believers who were of the circumcision, as many as had accompanied Peter, were amazed, because on the Gentiles also the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out. For they heard them speaking in tongues and magnifying God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid the water so that this would not be baptized? Who have received the Holy Spirit even as we?" In this portion, it was the background was there was a Roman centurion. When he was praying and Peter was praying, somehow they were connected. So Cornelius was sent someone to ask Peter to come. So Peter came, and while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit descended upon them. So this is a Roman centurion, so you know, it's Gentile, and he has his family and relatives together. So there was a baptism on the Pentecost, so the Jews were baptized into the body. And we, the Gentiles, in the house of Cornelius, we were baptized also into the body. So in this baptism, we all, as Gentiles, all the Jews, we were baptized in one spirit, we were baptized into one body. So today, we all can be sure that we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit to be the one body of Christ. You know, just this morning while sitting here, I realized something. You know, the Lord Jesus was also baptized. Of course, the Lord, you know, concerning the Spirit, there are two aspects. One is essential aspect, and the other one is economical aspect. Essential aspect is for life and existence. And economical aspect is for work and ministry. So the Lord Jesus, he was born of the Spirit. But the day when he was baptized by John the Baptist, the Spirit descended upon him. And that was the beginning of his ministry. So the economical spirit came upon the Lord as a dove, because he mentioned as a dove descended upon him. That was for his ministry. And the picture in Acts is the same. Because in John 20, the Lord breathed into the disciples, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." So they already have the Spirit. But on the day of Pentecost, for them, they were afraid. They were in Jerusalem. The Lord said, "Don't leave Jerusalem until the power from on high came upon you." And so they remained there, and the Spirit came, anointed them, and they start speaking. Amen. And there were 3,000 got saved, there were 5,000 got saved. So the church in Jerusalem started. So this picture is truly wonderful to see that God, in order to accomplish his purpose, he gave us the Spirit. And the law he experienced, you know, his birth was through the conceived of the Holy Spirit. And in his ministry, he also, the Spirit came upon him. And with the early apostles and disciples, they also experienced the same. So today is our turn. Today is our turn. And he also mentioned, that's why I enjoy very much that this matter of in one spirit, we were baptized into one body is for us to function as members, as the living members in the body of Christ. in the beginning of this chapter, he mentioned that concerning spiritual gifts, that Paul said, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were always been led away to dumb idols whenever and however you were led. So in other words, the Corinthians, they were the many are Greeks. They are, before they know the law, they were worshipping idols. Whenever, however, they were led to the idols, they are dumb. So all the Corinthians, when they worship the idols, they were also dumb. But our God is a living God. So living God is his living people speaking for him. That's why the next verse is so precious. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says Jesus is a curse. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So can we say Jesus is Lord? Say it again. Jesus is Lord. You are in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So the governing principle concerning the gifts are speaking. Because our God is living, our God is speaking, his worshippers are also speaking.
Amen.
So we all can. Are you anointed?
Amen.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the anointing spirit.
Amen.
To anoint us to be members functioning in the body.
Amen.
Of course, all my members, they are functioning, you know. I didn't know whether I woke up, but in the morning I have a little back pain. I don't know whether when I woke up, I will have a pain. You know, I appreciate my back now. Because he's functioning. You know, we all have experience. If we have stomach ache, you know, we'll realize, why, my stomach. I need my stomach to digest food, you know. Otherwise, the food is good, you can't eat because the stomach is not functioning well. So every one of us, we have function. And the particular thing concerning this portion of the world we cover in this morning is all these members, we think they are not, they should not speak. They're all speaking, right? They're all speaking. Because imagine, if the foot should say, can your foot speak? Your foot cannot speak. Oh, if the ear should say, can the ear speak? Then later on, you know, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But all these members are speaking. Since we all, one gift God has given us is what? Speaking! So we have other, you know, every sense, because we appreciate in the church life, so many things I cannot do, but other saints can do. So every one of us, we are needed in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Every one of us, we are needed in the church life.
Amen.
But for the meetings, we are very much needed to speak. To exercise this gift that God has given to every one of us. Okay, we can read two verses, then we can finish. Three verses. Let's read Acts 2:11. Okay, just read the last part. We hear them speaking in our tongues the magnificent works of God. There was the believers during the day of Pentecost. They were speaking the magnificent works of God. Okay, in 1 Corinthians, later on, you know, just two chapters later, you know, in 1 Corinthians 14, 31, let's read. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but he who prophesies builds up the church. The Lord wants to build up the church. Who can build up the church? we all can prophesy one by one, and we can build up the church. Okay, I just stop here, and we'll continue the year. You know, all the saints can share something, and you know, as you know, the first gift concerning is that we can say Lord Jesus. You know, just recently, a sister brought her mom to a home meeting, and she was an unbeliever, and just by, you know, meeting with the saints and singing hymns, and we asked her to speak. Can you say Lord Jesus? And she said that loudly. And she received the Lord right there.
Amen.
Because she can say Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And she can call Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And that was the beginning of her exercising the gifts.
Amen.
We all can say that. And we all said that already. But now we can just, again, you know, make this calling on the name of the Lord, speaking the Lord, our habit. So the church can be built up. Amen. So I'll stop here, and maybe I can.